Good morning, everyone. I'm happy to be here. I'm on sabbatical, so I'm more relaxed than usual. And I also want to mention that I have Axel Sanchez, one of the students that was in this capstone, so later on you can ask him questions directly. I'm really interested in high-impact practices in higher education. This is the list that the American Association for Colleges and Universities came out with. And the last thing on their list here is capstone courses and projects. This is something relatively new for us, so we're experimenting with it. And today I'd like to talk to you, and I will ask for your audience participation as well. I'd like to talk to you about capstones and how they might be configured within a soils program. So this is really a story within a story. I have two themes today. One is a theme of carbon balance. If a tree falls in the forest, how much carbon does it add to the soil? And the second one is what happens in an undergraduate capstone. If 10 undergraduates are turned loose in the forest, can they answer big picture questions? So we have two themes going on here, and I'll interweave them throughout my presentation. The setting for this class, this is spring soil 461 capstone, is at the L.W. Schatz Demonstration Tree Farm. This is in Humboldt County. It's inland. It's a Douglas fir forest. And what happened is, within our Department of Forestry and Wildland Resources, our faculty decided that we wanted to work together to bring together our efforts into a carbon project of some kind. So some folks worked on, we took a plot, and they did a variable thinning exercise, replicated four times. So there were plots that were clear cut, there were plots that had a low density thin, a high density thin, and then an unthinned control. And some folks are doing seasonal measurements on soil water content. Actually, some of my soil physics students did that. And then other folks are looking at sap flow differences in Doug fir in these different plots. Other folks are looking at recruitment of some of these tree species correlated to forest floor thickness. And another plant physiology type in our department is looking at water potential status in Doug fir and coast redwood as a function of these different thinning type exercises. Estimates of carbon and standing woody biomass, one of our lecturers has modeled this, and then my grad student who just finished up, Holly Ernest, has done an estimate of soil carbon with depth. So all these things are going on in one place. But the question, and this is Holly, her title is Soil Organic Matter Distribution in a Doug Fir Tan Oak Forest, a Baseline Study. We dug two trenches, and we had more than 400 soil carbon samples in these trenches. On the right-hand side, you can see how she's marked out the decimeter square plots with golf tees, and so she sampled all those. So we have a pretty good idea of how much carbon is in the soil and in the standing trees. This picture here shows how, with depth increment, each one of these different shaded colors here is a 10-centimeter depth increment with an average of soil organic carbon in kilograms per meter squared, and then they sum up to between 322 and 200 megagrams of carbon per hectare. By comparison, so this is Holly's work, by comparison in Redwood National Park, which is RNP, there's about 468 megagrams per carbon per hectare in mature redwood forest, down to maybe 11 in the floodplains. So my question for you, this is the warning, turn to somebody next to you and say, what is the missing piece? Quick, because we don't have much time. What are the missing pieces in a carbon inventory here? Okay, shout them out.
Coarse fragments.
What's that?
Coarse fragments.
Coarse fragments. What else? This is a static carbon inventory. It's not processed.
Inorganic.
You're cheating, but there's no carbonates there. Okay, we'll go on. The missing piece is, given that a forestry lecturer is the estimated standing biomass and the grad student has soil carbon, we need to look at the forest floor. We need to look at the understory vegetation, which is ferns, huckleberry, tan oak, California bay. We need to look at the slash, the woody debris, because this was a thinning experiment. Some of it they hauled off to sell as firewood as a fundraiser, but the rest of it was just a mess on the ground. So there's a lot of material slash from timber harvest. And so these are the missing pieces, and this carbon balance is one part of the story, but the second part of this story, as I mentioned before, is the capstone to help fill in the missing parts of this question. So now I'm going to turn towards the capstone and the students. Capstones prepare the student for a transition to a career in lifelong learning. This is definitions of capstones. They're typically team-oriented, and they're supposed to simulate the professional experience, address real-world problems, and they're oftentimes in a field setting. And then capstone learning outcomes include the development of students' analytical, interpersonal leadership, and communication skills, as well as the ability to integrate and apply knowledge from multiple disciplines to solving natural resources problems. So we're trying to get students to integrate things that they've learned in previous courses and put them together like you would in the real world, solving problems we don't even have a clue about yet. So the students in this capstone course, number 10, and some of them, all of these students, by the time they graduate, are OPM 0454 qualified. They've had enough coursework experience to be qualified as soil scientists as well as soil conservationists. Some of them are forestry students with a soils concentration, and then our program in rangeland resources and wildland soils, we have about 50 students, and so one of these was a pure range concentration, and five of them were range soils, wildland soils. These are the teams and what their approach was. So these are the three questions that we posed as far as filling out the carbon inventory. And these are the team members. I'd like to point out just that within each one of the teams, which were self-selected, there was a mixture. 4L is forest soils, RRWS is rangeland resources, wildland soils, and then Hector was the only rangeland resource science soil student there. But they were a little bit mixed up. They self-selected. They figured out what techniques they were going to use to determine these missing pieces. So, for example, and I put the classes on the right-hand side. We have a vegetation inventory and analysis class, which was used by the forest floor folks and the understory folks. But then the SLASH folks took an idea, the Brown's planar transect method for quantifying fuels. They used that fuel model to figure out what the woody debris was going to be about. So they took that from an intro wildland fire class that all the forest soils folks have to take. So that was kind of the scheme and how they approached it. This is all theirs. I didn't tell them what to do necessarily. This is just a picture at the Schatz Tree Farm of Axel and Joaquin. You're brave, Axel, to work with the foresters on this. And they have their line transect and are using that Brown's planar transect method to characterize the slash. Okay, there's a question here after. So the students proposed their field data collection methods. They collected the data over at least two field days. I think some of them went out a little bit longer. It's about 45 minutes drive from campus. They dried and they weighed their plant materials. They analyzed for loss on ignition, which we can do in-house, and then they also prepared samples to send off to Oregon State for combustion analysis for carbon and nitrogen. They developed regression relationships between loss on ignition and the combustion values to see how reliable that was. And then they compared their results to those found elsewhere in the literature to see if they were in the right scale, in the right neighborhood. They wrote a technical paper together, and then they gave a professional oral presentation of results. All 10 people participated in this presentation. So what was accomplished? Did we do what we were supposed to do? More rhetorical than turn to your neighbor. Did we prepare students for their transition to a career in lifelong learning? I hope so. Was it team-oriented? Yes, it was. Did it simulate the professional experience? I paid them a little bit of money out of McIntyre Stennis, so in that sense, maybe it was. They were expected to perform a job and fit it into the department's overall characterization of this study. Did they address real-world problems? Yeah, we need to know where things are. We need to see a static picture of where the carbon is before we start going on to process and understanding how slow and how fast things are moving. It was definitely in a field setting. So I think we did accomplish what we needed to accomplish in the capstone. I was very proud of this group and eager to talk about it to people such as yourselves. I'm going to bare my soul here. These are the course evaluations, and you'll see this line of high or low ratings, and I wanted to, the low ratings for me, this is instructor evaluations, we didn't have tests or assignments, so that explains the low point partway down, and syllabus, it was a pretty free-flowing thing, so the syllabus was a little bit low, but I wanted to point out the high marks as 7 out of 10 respondents rated this. The instructor sets goals that challenge me to do my best work. That's important for me. I want my students to do their best work at all times. The one way down on the bottom, after taking this course, I'm able to apply what I learned to improve on my thinking, problem solving, or decision making. They took things from courses maybe a couple of semesters ago, recalled them, took their notes, and applied it to a real world problem. That's good. And it's good that they thought that they agreed with that. Based on former capstones, students want to work on a real problem, a problem in a data set that exists before and persists after their capstone is completed. I'm frustrated by students that go out for 2 or 3 weeks and grab something, and it's trivial, and it hasn't taken enough time to think and consider. So I'm trying to build capstones that build upon previous work and set the stage for the next capstone to come along. I think that's satisfying all the way around. They want to be part of a bigger picture, a bigger effort. And with field research and ecology, it can't happen in 2 or 3 weeks. That's not what it's about. That's not the time scale that we operate in natural resources management. So I knew you wanted this. What was the end result? What was the end story? This is the carbon snapshot at SHOTS. And look at that. Looky there. 58% of the carbon is in the soil, roughly. That's a lot. That's the part that my grad student did. 33% is in the standing biomass, living biomass. And then smaller pieces, 3, 2, and 4%, are in forest floor, woody debris, and understory. Now, the understory is kind of a moving target, because when we were out there in early spring, it wasn't fully grown or anything, but it's still a small component. This was a snapshot at one point in time. Parting shots, get it? So I'd like to open it up right now for questions and discussion. How many of you deploy capstones in your curricula? What can you teach me about how you do your capstones? And finally, do you have any questions for Axel and myself? And Scott came in. He wasn't on this capstone. And we have two other students here, Mariah and Shannon. Yes. For our capstones, we have a panel of 3 faculty members that rate them, that use a rubric to give them a grade, and I'm the ultimate judge on what grade they get in the course. So they give a PowerPoint to a panel of 3 faculty members. They all got A's on this one. Yeah, John. Our students, we are sitting in a very good place in California where we're isomesic on the coast. And we can go out anywhere, anytime to the field. So what that does is it allows our students to spend their summers in meaningful internships. Axel worked for NRCS at a Pathways position in Salinas this summer. Mariah worked for NRCS in Washington State. Shannon worked for Forest Service it wasn't a Pathways though, was it? But she worked for Forest Service in Utah. Scott didn't pick one up, so we put him to work in our core facility doing some microbiological work, again, off of a little bit of McIntyre Stennis money. A little goes a long way with McIntyre Stennis.
So you count those as capstones?
So what?
You count those as capstones?
No. They're earning money and experience. Those are not capstones. Capstones is a formal class. For the range students, it's in the fall. For the soil students, it's in the spring. So this is above and beyond their paid internships that they often get. Yes?
If you don't have time for any more questions, but thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.